Hello, this is Chaz from Quiet Speculation, and you're listening to the QS Cast. If you're a QS subscriber, you're hearing this as soon as it gets published. If you're not a subscriber, you had to wait a few days. If you want to listen to the podcast as soon as it's published, or you just want to know more about Quiet Speculation, go to quietspeculation.com/tour and check out everything we have to offer.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to the QS Cast. I am not alone this time, so I hope you all enjoyed the solo cast last week. It was really fun. Tonight, I am joined by two guests, Sigmund Ausfresser, a QS writer. What's up, Sigmund?
How's it going?
Yeah, you all know Sigmund, and you all should know Stu Somers. What is up, Stu?
What's going on? I guess you could also say I'm a former QS writer as well.
Former QS writer, all-around finance, extraordinaire.
Person, yeah.
What is up, Stu? Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Just kind of had a day off today, so I figured I'd pop on in.
Yeah, we have a lot of things to cover. I don't have a super, long itinerary, and Sigmund doesn't have too much time, so I'm going to try and get this rolling. We are behind schedule, so hopefully Sigmund can stay for a little while longer. But at the very least, we're going to keep the actual kind of docket of every cast. We're going to talk about interest. We're going to talk about why. We're going to talk about where we can go from here. And then we'll wrap it up with a few other topics that come to mind. But there isn't one particular thing that I wanted to talk about. So let's just dive right in. Let's talk about what's been happening the last, we've covered this for the last like 2 weeks. The reserve list mania, I guess, is continuing. And again, I talked about this last week that this happens basically on a yearly basis now. It does seem that this is a little more kind of a shotgun approach this time, and a lot more cards are being kind of honed in on and targeted, and a lot of cards are increasing more than ever before, I think. I would have to check, but it does seem that a wider array of cards are increasing. And there are a few reasons why. I mean, Sigmund wanted to come on and talk about it. Stu certainly wanted to come on and talk about it. And at the very least, while folks are kind of dismissing this is a very real thing. And the long and short of it, to me, gentlemen, I think, is that the floor on a lot of these cards starting to increase. I mean, people are recognizing the reserve list clause. Not that, they didn't know it was there, but, and I talked about this last week, that bulk rares from, Shadows over Innistrad or, any, I guess, non-reserve list set, it's starting to become like these cards shouldn't be a dollar. And even it looks like the bad cards can still hold a price above a dollar or less, just because they're so old and they enact a lot of different emotions. It doesn't actually matter what the reason is. So I just kind of wanted to give the floor to you both, because everyone has heard what I have had to say about this already. So, Sigmund.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I was disconnected for a moment, so I didn't know if you would be able to hear me or not.
Yep, we got you back.
All right, perfect. So, yes, the reserve list cards. So I think that there are some key differences between what's happening this time and what happened last year. First of all, last year, I seem to recall that there was like a couple of targeted buyouts, Moat and Lion's Eye Diamond, two very playable legacy cards. And we even know that Craig Berry was responsible for the Lion's Eye Diamond. And in response to that buyout, all these other playable reserve list cards were targeted. This feels a lot different to me. We're looking at the reserve list cards from the very first four expansions of Magic, where we know the print runs and we know that they're extremely small. And so it seems like people are trying to move on this market. There probably are a few heavy hitters who are making large moves. There are probably a few collectors who are realizing that they no longer have an infinite amount of time to pick these up. And then, of course, you've got your speculators who are buying and trying to take advantage of these spikes as well.
Yeah. Stu, did you want to chime in on this real quick?
No, I mean, like, he hit the point that I wanted to, where I think the vast majority is people just finally getting up and realizing these cards in really good condition are going to be disappearing. And those are the ones that I think are the correct things to target, because you can always make a near mint card turn into light play, but you can't turn a light play card into near mint. So, I mean, I'm just kind of like browsing at the reserve list right now as we're talking, just getting like an idea of like what all these cards are. And then I kind of like glance over to the far left side of it, and it said the limited edition, and just kind of realized that there's some really weird cards on this reserve list, like Natural Selection, Raging River, Two-Headed Giant. And it's just kind of weird to me that nobody's really gone after those yet. I understand there's more printings of those, but like if I was
If I'm
starting to like look into buying reserve stuff, I may be targeting the alpha, beta, maybe unlimited versions.
Yeah, and of actually, and you're right. You're both right. And actually, you know, coming at this from a different perspective, also, Sigmund, you actually release an article that puts hard numbers to these. And I don't know if a lot of people actually know about that website. I talked about it on the other cast this week, and Seth actually has seen that site, and he has stated that he's used those numbers in the past. I can't remember the website right now. Crystal Keep?
Crystal Keep.
Crystal Keep. And everyone, I mean, no one to this point has debated those numbers. So everyone has kind of taken those numbers as nearly factual, as close as factual as we can get. And when you just look down the line of the numbers, I mean, it is minuscule. So the one point that I wanted that I was kind of talking about, even after the cast, was it not only does it matter, like the reason why people buy these cards. It also, a huge point of all this is also it doesn't take many people either. I mean, even if you take like 0.5%, let's just for the sake of argument, 0.5% of all the Magic players that actually give, you know, a rat's behind about old school and, you know, 93, 94 or whatever, where these cards are actually worth anything. And again, doesn't even matter. It could just be for whatever. Take, you know, that percentage of 20 million people recorded, could even be more at this point. That was just kind of the last number we've even seen. I mean, that's still a lot of people. And it doesn't take much to buy up the rest of these low stock first few sets where there's like, what, 18,000, 15,000 that were printed of some of these rares. And that was printed. Probably less, almost. And I asked Richard and Seth what they thought this number was in terms of attrition of these cards. They threw out numbers like 40, maybe even 50% of that have disappeared over the years. So that's like a lot of cards just that have gone into the ether and have never returned. So we're thinking like half that. So again, that 0.5% with not a lot of, I mean, it does take a lot of money to kind of move these. Again, some of them not very much.
Yeah, like I said, it's one of those things where the cards are disappearing and not coming back out as the collectors start collecting up to it. You have a Magic community that's actually getting older, and the older people get, the more money that they're going to have to build, you know, disposable income. So this might just be their time to start picking things up, and stuff is just going to disappear because, I mean, they're not printing Nether Void ever again.
Yeah, and a couple other content creators, I believe it was the I think it was the Cartel Cast kind of mentioned this. So I just wanted to mention this also, that at least for Jeremy Zemet, some of you know him as Zemet, some of you know him as talked about, I don't know if it's maybe just for him, but I would think that he talks to a decent amount of people. This is by no way means the baseline for anything. But if a lot of Magic players are like 18 to 25 and, you know, 18 to 22 or whatever, still in college, you know, they might not be buying the $50 reserve list card or the $80 reserve list card. But a lot of the earlier players that are now my age, I mean, that is, if they want to drop that on a card, they have no problem doing that these days. Yeah, I probably wouldn't have done that if I was still in college or 18 or 20 years old. But now that they have that kind of income and they have jobs and steady jobs and all that or whatever, you know, it's much easier for people to go after these cards now. And that's why I think it's one of those small pieces to what you said, Sigmund, is that it is a lot different than the prior years. And a lot more of these cards are, you know, there's a vast majority of these cards now that are being picked up because, again, they have the capital to do it.
Yeah, and I think something funny is going on as a result because, you know, you're absolutely right. And what you said about limited income or what have you, you know, if you are, you know, have a full-time job and you're getting older now, yes, you can afford to buy the valuable cards, the Nether Voids, the, you know, the Motes, whatever. But what we're seeing now is something a little different. Like these almost worthless cards, or these previously like 50 yep. cent, $1, $2 cards are all spiking now. I think, again, some of that might just be some speculators who are thinking like, ooh, me too, I want to get on this action. But even if a small fraction of collectors are thinking like, oh, great, Rapid Fire is almost, you know, out of stock. I'd rather pay $2 for it than $10. You know, it doesn't take that many people, no matter how unplayable the card is, doesn't take that many collectors to buy their set, throw them in their binder, and then, you know, yes, speculators will come back to the market and try to sell their copies and undercut each other, but there will be a good chunk of those that were on the market before that aren't going to come back. And, yep. you know, it doesn't take that many to not come back for that price to stick a little bit higher. And you're seeing that with buy lists. And, you know, if I hear someone say one more time that, oh, well, these prices are not going to stick and they're all going to come back down. I mean, they'll come back down some, but that's just incorrect. Now you're seeing like $20 buy lists for Knowledge Vault at Star City. I saw Card Kingdom is paying like $175 for Charizard or something like that. I mean, you know, these are major vendors. They know what they're doing, and they are also seeing this mad dash for reserve list cards, and they also know that they're not going to get cheaper.
Yeah, I actually had this discussion, and I'll let you chime in again real quick. And I don't want to, you know, have this whole cast be this, because I mean, at this point, we kind of know. All I want to do is, you know, talk about it one more time from a different perspective. And I think we're kind of doing that, and kind of where this trend might be leading, just to give people a heads up. And I believe between you and I, segment, that we kind of seeing something along those lines, at least for the next few days. It could rapidly keep continuing and changing after those few days. But at the very least, while we're recording, we can kind of give our predictions there. But yeah, listen, the long and short of it is the floor on a lot of these even bad cards are increasing. And it's exactly like you said, the buy lists are increasing as well. And it does show that vendors are confident in the new demand in these cards and the new price plateaus of these cards. So yeah, I think while folks are out there continuing to debate this and showing that or saying that, you know, this is not real or they'll trend back down. Yeah, they will to some extent, but it does seem that the buy lists are now setting that floor and additionally, well, for near mint. And additionally, they never go back to those original prices. I mean, we can even see that. I even mentioned, and we talked about this in the Discord as well, the insider Discord, that you can even just look back to those cards that increased a year ago, right, Sigmund? I mean, King Suleiman, sitting in a bottle, those cards largely didn't go anywhere. Those prices basically stuck and are now the same prices a year and a half, almost 2 years later.
Yeah, though it helps that those spiked because they do see some sideboard right. play in old school, whereas I don't think many people will play Cleanse, you know, whatever. I mean, maybe they do, but... Bartel Runax. How many old school decks play Bartel Runax? I don't know.
So, Sigmund, you had mentioned you had thoughts about me, you know, bringing up like alpha beta stuff, not necessarily spiking at the moment. What was your?
Yes. Oh, thank you. Yes. So, I mean, it's really quite simple, but I think a lot of it is people don't necessarily target it for buyouts because it doesn't show up as default on MTG stocks on the interest page, and then B, if you do activate those on the interest page, are seeing some sort of spikes. I don't know how real it is. Howling Mind shows up here as from $25 to $57 since yesterday. Alpha Gloom, 41 to 70. The problem is, of course, that these fluctuate so much, there's only a few copies out there. But these have absolutely been moving too. We know that Star City Games reset all of their pricing on Alpha Beta Unlimited not long ago, and we know what that caused.
Yeah, they certainly reset them all right. Yeah. I think that's also true. And you know, Stu and Sig, you definitely track those cards, and you always kind of leave all your articles off on those notes. And those certainly are increasing as well, slowly but surely. I mean, they've not gone down, or they've not decreased rather a significant amount. I only ever see those cards increasing. Yeah, they're small percentages, but nonetheless. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I mean, like, you're just not like, I mean, like I say, I'm looking at like Two-Headed Giant at Furious and Natural Selection, and there's like a total of like three near mint copies between the three of them. And it's like, they get dinged up. They're like played forever. So yep. I think if you're trying to get ahead of this somehow, like, I think looking at alpha and beta might be somewhere an untapped market that people might want to consider.
Yeah. So to wrap this up again for this week, again, I don't want too much time to discuss this because it's just largely a mania going on right now. So this is more of a day-to-day conversation. We have this discussion every day on the Insider Discord prior, you know, contrary to what folks say. I mean, it's happening and people are certainly having success with that. So I think where the trend is moving, Sigmund, to my view, is some of the legends, if that makes sense.
Yes, I actually wrote an article about this years ago. I'd have to dig it out. But yeah, I think you're right. We saw a few already jump. I mentioned Bartel. See, has jumped. What else do you have?
Rasputin, Gwendolyn DeCourcy. There was our good old friend. Where is he?
Ur-Drago.
Yep, Ur-Drago. Gosta Dirk.
Edie Kalaria. There's only 13 sellers on TCG Player.
Oh, where was the other one? What's the other Bant one?
I just see the name. I see the name Boris Devilboon. I just really want to say Boris Devilboon, but I don't think he is.
But Jacques Levert, he's the Naya one. There's only 5 sellers of that card on.
What is the Hakeem? That's not Hakeem. What is the other one?
Angus McKenzie. Did you say that one?
Angus McKenzie. There we go. Yeah. Our good friend.
It's also a fun one to say. How did we miss that?
Yeah, Angus McKenzie. Right. There we go. Always loved Haziz Antemar. And I really wish I bought one four years ago, but I didn't. So I had to drop a 50 on a burger on a near mint one. So at least it's near mint.
Well, there you go. You're the older person now spending this extra money, willing to spend the extra whatever just to pick the card up.
Yeah. And it's crazy because it's, again, and what's feeding into this more and what people aren't realizing is that every time these increase, people are buying them at these new prices so they don't keep increasing, you know, before they have to pay $100. And I didn't I didn't want to spend the $50 on a Haziz Antemar, but I definitely don't want to spend $100 on it.
Right.
And that could easily happen.
Yeah, I've made that version. I know that people have been saying in the Discord that they've been going after certain cards as a result of spikes. I have done it myself. I prioritized the Guardian Beasts, a Land Equilibrium. I mean, these are cards that I've always wanted, and it's like, well, I better get one. There's like 4 left in stock. I better get one now.
Yeah, I remember the other day you were saying, I really didn't want to have to spend this, but I did because I wanted the Guardian Beast. And I think you spent, what was it?
It was like $195. It was it was expensive.
So, like, here's the thing, that card is not going to lose its price. And if anything, you're going to make money on that card in the long term.
Yeah, absolutely.
The legends. Okay, so let's kind of get into, I mean, we kind of went through, I'm just going to go through inches really quickly, all right, folks? We got Sword of the Ages, Might Stone, Cleansing, Spiritual Sanctuary, Jovial Evil, Rapid Fire, Pixie Queen, Rasputin Dreamweaver, Transmute Artifact, Sentinel Druid, Land Equilibrium, Telekinesis, Forethought Amulet, Reverberation, Gosta Dirk, Nether Void, Angus McKenzie, Master of the Hunt, Jacques Levert, Merchant Ship, All Hallows Eve. He's not Bulk anymore, so now he's Jacques.
It's like I'm listening to Seth right now, I swear.
Sorry, I had to interrupt.
No, it's all right. It's okay. I between me and him, we always get it wrong. I probably got your name wrong, but sorry. We got
Ship.
Boris Devilboon, Gravity Sphere. We got a lot of stuff. So yeah, we just got a Bartel Runax. There we go. Mind Over Matter, Alcor's Tomb, Nova Pentacle, Caverns of Despair, Taunos's Coffin. Oh, that's also another. That's another one that's probably teetering on the brink. So for non-reserve lists, let's go there.
You're on interest. Hold on. I mean, it's kind of interesting to go to the bottom of that list and seeing all the things that are like in the red now that are already starting to come back down to earth a little bit, where you see like Elven Graveyard peeling back from 400 down to 270.
Yeah, call them out because they're just as important. Go ahead, Stu.
So like starting from the bottom, you have Acid Rain coming back 36%. You have Elven Graveyard, Aladdin's Lamp, above about 30%. Ring of a Roof, Falling Star, Singing Tree. I just want to butcher this one. Edwin, Ifrit, Golgothian Silex. You have Mishra's Factory, the Summer. City in a Bottle, Lifeblood, Island of Walk Walk.
Yeah. I mean, those, yeah. And so now we're starting to see they are correcting. Again, they probably won't end up as their original prices, but let's just be honest here. No one's spending $80 on a Lifeblood. So it's, you know, you're starting to see that the pushback is very real. Folks were buying up, you know, Elephant Graveyard in the close to 200 range, you know, in that 150, 175 range. And that's just looking at, I believe, eBay completeds. And that's still a huge percentage of, you know, increase from where it was in like the 30, 40 range.
Yeah.
So
I had bought three Lifebloods and they were like $3.50 each. And I was able to sell them in the high teens. I mean, that's still a phenomenal return, ignoring the silly numbers that are on here.
Well, here's the thing. Like, so it doesn't take very much for the card to go up because this thing's only calculating off of TCG player. And when somebody sees it jump high at TCG player, it's just like a domino falling and everywhere else gets hits up. And even though it might go up on TCG player, it doesn't mean the card has sold at that because so I'm a seller on TCG player. I have a different view than the public has where I can see last sold. And this kind of happens with Old Man of the Sea where that card just went, $200 or whatever over the weekend. Friday night, I'm buying cards from a local store, just cleaning up inventory for him, and he hands me Old Man C. Well, at that point, there's nothing left. I'm like, Brett, what do you want for this? He goes, I don't know if I want to sell at this point because there's, you know, we don't know a number because they're all gone. I'm like, here, Brett, list it up on your store for like $250. Let's see what happens. And the next day, he just shoots me a text saying it's sold at that for $250. Like, it doesn't take much for any of these things to move, but at the same time, you have to make sure that you know, they actually are moving.
You do still have to put it at a price point people are willing to. So, it's definitely not the, you know, the price tag of the card going forward. I mean, cards increase all the time. Just because that you see that number definitely does not mean that's what people are paying for it. So, again, some people will pull the trigger on, you know, some ridiculous prices, but a lot of the times they don't. And I've been kind of divulging some of the cards I do sell too. And, you know, even during the mania, you know, you do put it up at a pretty inflated price. You know, a few hours will go by. Obviously, there's nothing. A few hours, you know, you lower it. A few hours go by. Nothing goes on. You lower it. And then finally, there's a price point. Someone snatches it up. So again, there's just going to be a lot of pushback overall. So again, trying not to get too far off track. Let's go to interest. So we're starting to see some of the high-end foils start to increase too. Here's one that I've talked about for a while, Brass Herald. I'm seeing the Apocalypse foils start to increase. And I think there's not many of them left in between 8th edition and Apocalypse. And I love the foils. Obviously, Apocalypse foils to me would take precedence, even though 8th edition foils look very nice too with the black border.
There's something I'm missing here with you liking Apocalypse and 8th edition over other sets.
I believe for Brass Herald, those are the only two sets.
Oh, so you're just like liking the card Brass Herald, not necessarily liking foils from 8th edition and Apocalypse.
Oh, if I had to choose, I would choose the older.
I'm saying you like Brass Herald, but not necessarily all the foils in Apocalypse and all the foils in 8th edition. I didn't say it was like a card-specific thing. I thought it was set-specific for like the entire, like you would like Spectral Links, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I do. I kind of like Apocalypse.
Okay,
I actually like Apocalypse.
I just wanted to figure out what we were in our conversation.
Let's go down the list. Couple of masterpieces. We got Wrath of God. We've got someone pointed out Gauntlet of Power finally increased, and that moved at little increments way before it increased. You know, up to this point now. Chalice of the Void.
I should have listened to Sigmund and bought Soul and Simulacrums at 40.
Yep. we got some weird ones. Oh, Austria Command. I actually really like. I like. Yeah, Austria Command.
I picked up one of those myself. I think that it was mentioned on the Cartel Aristocrat. It was mentioned on one of the other casts, and I agree with that pick.
Yeah.
In like 10,000 EDH rec decks.
Yeah, it's a really good card. Here we go. Capsize, Divert. I talked about these on a article. Last cast. Sorry. it was an art. I still have to post form technically. So, but yeah, it was last cast. All right. So
I'm kind of looking at this, just so you guys know, I think Mercadian Masks might be the next set to feel the foil pinch, because the guy I go through to get my boxes at a pretty reasonable price, he's telling me that not only is the entire like Urza's block just being bought up, like the sealed product, but apparently it's starting to extend into like Mercadian Masks. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some more movement there sooner rather than later.
And though there's no reserve list there?
That was literally my reaction to him. Like, this doesn't make any sense. But he says the older sealed stuff is starting just to dry up in general. I think it has kind of a reaction to the reserve list thing, where I wouldn't be surprised if, I mean, it's kind of the reason why I've been asking for a legend sealed box. I just think if I can get into a good number now, it's better. But like things like, I took like Mirage and Vision of Weatherlight all to start rise up in price too, because they're full reserve list cards. It's just a matter of time before those boxes start to get hit. The Dark is probably a good one too. It's a matter of time before the sealed product catches up to the singles.
Yeah, that's also a really interesting take too, the sealed products. Those are really, really scarce at this point. Yeah,
those are like the original reserve list, right? Because they're never going to go back and reprint old sets.
Not the entire sets, no. So they got reserve list and the boxes. So you really are, that's definitely more of a, that's just kind of like a buy and hold.
I don't think it's that long of a buy and hold, to be honest, for some of the sets. Like, I fully expect these sets to start being hit here. Like, I know there's a lot more of them, but I think that sooner rather than later, you're going to see the rest of these sets, specifically the sealed stuff too, just like go up exponentially. It doesn't exist. Like, you could, like, I'm not a huge fan of buying stuff and sitting long term. Like, I want to be liquid. I want to continually just turn through money because it's continually making me money. And, like, I wouldn't be buying this box of Urza's Destiny if I didn't think that in, I don't know, 3 to 6 months, this thing's going to at least double through, if not more.
Well, at least you're speaking my language. That's definitely how I'd do this.
Like, I have one big collection I bought.
It's probably why my, it's probably for basically anything above 30 days is putrid, but that's all right. It should be okay now, actually. It should even itself out a little bit. Some of my older, real older cards that I've talked about are finally picking up speed. So maybe I won't be completely in the red anymore. I'm eager to see what Guillaume spits out.
I have Jihads that I bought, and just now they're going up again. And I don't know. I hate sitting on stuff. I feel like it's just money just sitting. Like, I bought that giant collection I tweeted about for like, you know, $27,000. I still have a lot of it just sitting, and I'm like, this is so much stuff to move. And it just feel like my money could be better spent going through a bunch of smaller for the same amount, other than one big. Even though my margin was really good, just sitting on money is not. I don't need to.
Not where you want to be. I don't blame you.
Not unless you're playing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm always a player too. That's my thing first, like getting back to the pro tournament. That's considering who I live with. That's you know, the goal. I might as well just do this on the side while I can. I mean, I'm not going to be that person who, you know, arbitrages out to Europe and tweets about all my mail and then sit on this stuff for 6 to 8 months, you know, tweeting about how awesome it all was, never mentioning how bad it was. Just the big secret is just continually turning money and making money.
Why you gotta get me in trouble, man?
I'm not mentioning anybody.
It's fine. Guests have a pass.
I told Sigmund I would not derail the podcast more than 4 times. I think we're well ahead of me not doing that. So I think it's just.
I mean, you might as well get it all in before.
Sealed product, eh?
So.
Yeah.
You might as well get it all in before my comment later, so I guess this is fine.
No.
Because that's the cutoff. It's like, get it all in now, and then it's over.
Mute him quick.
No good. It's one of those things where I think people get a lot of bad information from the internet, and it's just trying to educating people about what the good information is with people that are, you know, actually. I'm not somebody who's going to, like, tweet about how awesome all these cards that I've bought, because, like, I rarely tweet to people how to do it so they can do it on their own, per se, then they just follow along and hope to get luck. Because they just follow along. It's a, you know, literally just a pump and dump right there if you're getting people just to follow along with you, whereas I'm much more interested in just educating people and then, you know, making them learn for themselves so they can do it on their own and don't really need to, you know, follow along with somebody.
Yeah. You know, the thing is I guess for me is I'm just trying to, you know, look at what I see and, you know, I'm just reacting to what I see and I give my best, you know, kind of take on all of this stuff, you know? And that's, I think, what everybody should try to do. But I will have a comment towards the end of the cast about this.
No, I totally agree. And if anybody who follows me on Twitter knows that I'm just one of those people who, if I have an opinion and I want to say something, I'm going to say it instead of sugarcoating it. It's like, sugarcoating it doesn't help anybody or anything. It's not.
It doesn't.
You just, you know, I'm an accountant. We don't really have ways to sugarcoat things. It's very, you know, cut and dry. We have numbers. This is a yes or a no. And it's kind of the same thing. And I feel like people are just kind of like going off and leading people down the wrong way. I'm definitely going to speak up and be like, that's not okay. It's not something that should be happening.
Yeah. I had a comment, not the one that I'm going to talk about, but I had something to say about, I just had it. Okay. This is what I was going to say is that, what's really great about now having like the data and tracking all this is that you can clearly see what's not working. And I think people are really doing themselves a disservice if they don't track the data. And it's not just for bragging, right? So like, it really is not. I could care. Like, it's about learning. And as long as you're, again, like, people are out there that do this as well. And as long as you're that aren't on podcasts, that don't, you know, write content, and they're successful too. So as long as you're more right than not, it's still worthwhile to talk about what's not working so you learn from it. I mean, this is why it's so great that Guillaume was added to the team, and, you know, him and Diego team up to do these infographics, because, you know, you get to see what's not working. You get to see, you know, specifically me, you know, in this instance, what's not working long term, what, you know, cards did not pan out, what was the one that was really a stinker, because we all have them. And I think, you know, kind of not talking about them and glossing over them is really a huge disservice to everybody, including yourself.
Oh yeah, like, I just tweeted out the other day that I think I just completely whiffed on Street Wraith. I mean, a lot of my targets, if I do this type of thing, they're gonna be cards I feel like I can't lose on. So, or I will lose very little. So I'm very risk adverse, I guess, when I, you know, target things I feel like are gonna be rather safe. Because like, Street Wraith was printed twice. The first time printing wasn't very, you know, a lot. The second printing is getting more and more rare. I think it's kind of like, whatever, right now the card might get banned in Modern. I think it's the front runner if anything happens to go in Modern. Although I'm a lot more interested to see what happens in Vintage. I think there's going to be a pretty big shakeup soon. But, you know, it is one of those. What?
I said, can we get rid of Mitra's Workshop? I know everyone's going to call me a wimp for saying that, but
no, I think the cards. I think the cards that have to go for sure are Workshop, Mentor, and Paradox Outcome. I think all three have to be restricted. I don't think Wizards has the guts to restrict Workshop, and if you're not going to restrict Workshop, you definitely cannot restrict. Oh, I don't want to say definitely not restrict Mentor. I think every time you restrict a card out of the blue deck, it makes Workshops slightly worse because they have more room to like pre-sideboard certain things. I wouldn't also be surprised to see Preordain also get restricted because there's no reason for that card to be allowed when Brainstorm and Ponder Elves are both restricted.
But I can see up to like before Sigmund has to go. What are you guys? What are you guys' choices or picks or whatever you want to call them this week? What cards are you zeroing in on?
Oh boy, Sigmund. I get picks.
So let me talk about a strategy that I've developed in light of all these reserve list buyouts. So, I mean, you might already have done this, maybe not. Hopefully it's helpful to someone. So when you go to tcgplayer.com and you go to view all the sets so that you can drop down and select a certain set, when you do that, the default in TCG Player is to sort the products by best selling. And so what I've done every day over the past week or, you know, week and a half, and Arabian Nights, Antiquities, Legends, and the Dark, and I've looked at what the best selling was, and inevitable cards that were just about ready to pop next were the ones that were on top of the list since people have been buying it out. But you get to see it before it was up on MTG stocks in cases. And so I did that today, and I see on Legends, I see Rapfire, Bartel, Rune X, Cleanse, three that are showing up. I know for a fact I went to Haria's website, and I think they had, I forget which one it was, and I decided not to buy it too late. I didn't want to deal with it. But maybe it was Card Shark. I think it's Card Shark, some of these cards. So my point is, you can use that data to then scrounge the rest of the internet before everyone else notices and goes and buys everything out, and you can get your copies at the old price.
Fair enough. So what do you got?
Oh, so I can use those as my three choices?
Oh, okay.
I mean, all right, fine. Then scroll down a little bit further. Jovial Evil, that'll probably pop. We talked about Dean, that'll pop.
Sigmund, I'm trying. You were too low effort there. I was trying to get your effort up.
Why am I going to waste time buying other cards that are not just ready to go up 1,000%?
Oh my goodness. We got the spice in here. All right, Stu, what do you got?
So I'm going to go off fully different than the reserve list. I mean, I've already made my point for buying sealed product or buying like certain beta rares, but I kind of want to stay with that alpha and beta kind of area because like, that's not the beginning of Magic. That's 1993. At that point, it's, you know, 24, almost 25 years ago. And I think there are some things that are very bulletproof when it comes to buying. And I think that is basic lands. I am a huge proponent of buying up, you know, nicer condition, you know, beta basic lands, APAC Euro lands, Guru lands. I think that stuff in the old border, the old frame, is the base. I think I'd have a hard time seeing those cards drop from where they are, even if they printed, you know, Guru lands in a new border, because like it's not the same. And I think people just really appreciate the Guru lands as they are, and they're super rare. I mean, you got those things for bringing new people into Magic, and then you mailed out to do this. And this is like pre-internet days. This is like 97, 98 through 2000. Like, this is not mass, you know, well known. Not a lot of people know about. So the quantity of availability of Guru lands is not very high. But if you're looking for something a little cheaper, a little more budget friendly, I think nicer condition beta basic lands and alpha basic lands are a pretty good place to go. I can see those things only getting bought up and getting more expensive as they go. I mean, they've been trending up forever. They're never going to, you know, crash or do anything. But I think beta basic lands are that kind of investment that are going to keep going up. I would not be surprised to see $20 or $30 beta basic lands within the next 2-3 years at the rate they're going. There's already some already hitting the double digits, and they're ones you can use. So you kind of get to use your investment and play and, you know, make money on it.
I really like that one. That is a really kind of different one that we don't normally talk about. I like that one, Stu. I will circle back to Sigmund because apparently the chat blew up and told everyone we couldn't hear you, Sigmund. I cut you off. I apologize.
Thank God, it wasn't just me.
All right, R2-D2. No, it was R2-D2. Go ahead.
Well, interrupt me if you can't hear me. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you right now.
First, love the call, the alpha and beta basic lands. I haven't picked up a bunch myself, but I've heard a lot of people tell me that the quantities on the market are drying up and they're getting more and more expensive.
Was that just me telling you over and over again?
No, there are other people that I talk with on Twitter.
What?
Who have
I
also
feel so cheated. I feel really cheated on.
Yeah, yeah. I have a lot of behind the scenes conversations.
More. Oh,
wow, truth comes out.
Oh my goodness.
Mostly about old school. Just like, you know, is this card any good? I don't know. So
Sigmund is he's out there. He gets around.
Hey, I thought this was PG-13.
Yeah.
Nothing's been implied.
In all seriousness, it's true. Like over the past week and a half, I mean, I live for all the old cards. I love looking at the old stuff. So now that these are quote unquote in the news, it's all I'm researching. So, I can't really offer much in terms of recommendations off the reserve list because that's what I'm researching every single day. And that's what I'm buying and selling. I'll say that some of the implications look great. I think every other cast has mentioned that too. So repeating it is kind of pointless. So, you know, just bottom line. So if I'm interested in flagging some reserve list stuff that's in stock and all I put my energy into these last couple of weeks.
They wanted the cards, Sigmund. Just talk about the cards.
All right, so
get them out there.
rapid fire, cleanse, Bartel, Rune Axe. They're all gonna spike tomorrow, but there's still copies on like Card Shark. Check some of the more obscure stores.
Thank you.
Okay.
We got so cleanse and Bartel Rune Axe. Was there any others?
Rapid fire.
Oh, I thought you meant you're gonna save them in a rapid fire way, so you could get them all.
So I have a question.
I didn't think you were going to talk about the actual card rapid fire. Okay. So we got it. All right.
I have a question. Perfect. How do you guys feel about the Italian version of these cards?
I would stay away from that personally. I do think they will increase. They will definitely be at a much smaller rate though. Like at a much slower rate. I do think like if you could pick up an Italian version cards that are like really spiking, and maybe it would have to be the ones that are more desirable than others. I do think there is some meat on the bone there, but again, I just don't think I mean, they'll just be selling at a considerable less rate than English versions.
I mean, it's nothing that I want to get involved with. But I just wanted to, you know, maybe it's the question that people were.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, I'll take a, I mean, I guess sort of the ages as a good one. Like, if you can buy, if you bought, like, $10 Italian ones, I do think you have a good chance at selling them at, like, $30, $35. So, I mean, I still think that's a win.
I don't know. I think that that's pushing it. I'm not saying that there's no meat on the bone, but I don't know if you'll get 35.
Yeah, again, I mean, it's probably going to be tough, but I do think you can get a percentage. I mean, I was just throwing out numbers, but I do think you can get a worthwhile percentage back for the Italian stuff. But overall, I would stay away. I would definitely stay away.
My general strategy has been, like, if you really want a card for yourself for play, then go ahead and go cheap on the Italian. But I wouldn't buy that in anticipation of selling for huge gains.
And I probably wouldn't even buy it for my personal, you know, use anyway. So, okay. So I'm actually going to break away. Why not? One thing we did talk about on the, you know, in the Insider Discord, this was many days ago, as we do for pretty always super in advance, or in advance rather. But I will talk about what I want to talk about. Oh, right. So with all the Commander stuff going on, we mentioned a lot of different things for the Commander cards and all the tribal stuff a while back. But there was talk about, you know, some of the build around stuff in Commander. I mean, we talked about more the general tribal support cards like Cryptic Gateway and Brass Herald and all that stuff. And we actually talked about the specific stuff like Kess, you know, what's actually worthwhile to buy in the Commander stuff. But I do think, and I definitely agree with the chatter that was going on as the build around card for this, I guess, Commander product. And it was brought up as Marisol, I think is the pronunciation on that. But, you know, it is definitely the build around card. And a lot of these obscure, like, foils and different things, there was a few that already started to increase. More namely, I think it was Quicksilver Elemental, the foils. But there is a long list of stuff that could start increasing. And we kind of seen this in the last few sets, even outside the Commander stuff, like Hapatra, like Locust God and stuff like that. But I do think Marisol is definitely, and it is in the Wizards pre-con, and I do think Kess is really strong, but definitely the build around is Marisol. So just, there was a great list in Discord, and I will read it out. You can go back and see it. It's in one of the channels. But a couple of them I wanted to point out was Mirror Mad Phantasm foil. It was a mythic in Innistrad, you know, basically was a cool card, but never went anywhere. Shauku Endbringer. We got Drownu Lich Lord. I really like that one only because, I mean, the card is just really cool.
That card used to be so annoying in Commander. I really
Conjurer's Closet foil. And I think that's a really good one too, because that's just an overall great card in Commander, even outside of that build around. We got
also Abzu Restored, which is a very under-open set.
Yeah. We have Torchling foil. We have Rainbow Efreet and Phyrexian Devourer. So those are just a few of what I wanted to bring up. There's a whole larger list in one of the channels. If you're in Discord, it's in the actional purchasing channel. So yeah, and a few of you have already had some success selling some of this stuff. So yeah, keep in mind Morphling, Torchling, like all that stuff. Yeah, Morphling, obviously reserve list. Shauku, obviously reserve list. So interesting. I've literally bought. I do think it was good to take, you know, break away from the reserve list talk. Aetherling too. Yeah, Aetherling foils is pretty good. I literally have bought out his entire list. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Sigmund's got to go. Sigmund, thank you for joining us. Where can they find you on the internet?
Thanks for having me. You can find me on Twitter at SigFig8, and my articles go live on Quiet Speculation every Monday.
All right, Sigmund, again, thank you for joining us. Good night.
Bye, Sig.
Stu, anything you wanted to talk about before we kind of wrap things up here?
Not really. I mean, like, Magic is being Magic. I mean, granted, I think Standard's in a great place now. I think Standard's a lot of fun. I think Modern is just Modern in general. Legacy's in a good place.
Do you equate that to, I mean, I've spent a lot more than I have probably in the last couple months that I have on this game to, like, restock. But do you, I do feel that there's definitely that healthy standard, healthy modern, like that is definitely driving interest back into the game. And yeah, there's a lot to look forward to too. I think Ixalan is definitely generating a lot of hype.
Yeah, standard's like the lifeblood of Magic, to be honest. I mean, it's like it's that intro level Magic for, you know, people to get in and start playing. It's usually fairly simple, more simple gameplay than the older formats. So it's, you know, better for people to get in. It's one of the, you know, linchpin formats for FNMs. It was highlighted in every Pro Tour. Well, at least it was. I mean, I have other thoughts about them adding different things to Pro Tours. I mean, the team one's gonna be awesome to watch.
Yeah,
I mean,
for modern, sure.
Somebody who's tested for a modern Pro Tour, that is just abysmal. It's so hard. It's modern itself is this format where you'll see a lot more less established people have success because there are just so many more swingy cards and swingy matchups. In standard, you're never going to have that 80-20, 90-10, you know, unbeatable matchup where and it's like not even really like that in Legacy because Force Will exists. But you have that in modern just because of there's just this huge range of swingy sideboard cards. I mean, Stony Silence is just an absurd Magic card. And it's an example of those things which makes it very hard to, you know, you have to avoid the wrong decks and play well and get lucky to win a tournament. And it's very hard to do that in modern. But I mean, it's modern still, it's better than it's been. I think Death Shadow has kind of been evened out because the format kind of turned on it. I know I have not played Death Shadow the past couple events because I think it's in a pretty bad spot. But I think standard being in a great spot, even it took some bans to get there. I mean, I'm old. I remember when they had to ban the Affinity Lands. I remember when they had to ban Jace and Stoneforge, and those standard formats right after those were all very good. So I think that I'm okay with where everything is. I mean, yeah, I didn't do pre-sales for this new set recently, but I mean, granted, I put twice as much money in the Pokemon than I did normally for pre-sales. But I mean, other than that, that is great.
Yeah. I think that's a good place to kind of end off here, Stu. I am going to make one comment before we finally wrap things up. Okay. And I wanted to make it while everyone's kind of still listening too. So here it goes. I'm going to include myself into this comment too. I know there's been a lot of kind of hostility and drama, and it definitely does seem that there's a lot of tension growing in this, I guess we'll call it the finance community. My comment short, I just think we need to kind of take the high road. And I've kind of always prided myself to do that as much as I can. And we've cultivated a really great culture in Discord. And listen, I get that there's a lot of back and forths. I get there's a lot of different reasons. I mean, there's definitely other content that is out there. There's other content creators, there's other sites, and we don't have to worry about, let's just worry about our own community, what we're doing, just keep doing what we're doing. We're overall very positive. I rarely, and we've used the platform for a while. I haven't had to, you know, really police anything. So, let's just keep the back and forth to a minimum. And again, myself included, we don't need to, you know, spend time, you know, jabbing back and forth. And if folks want to make jabs, that's fine. Honestly, it doesn't matter. And I do apologize for sometimes getting wrapped up in it. I don't really have ill will towards other content creators, despite what has been said. It doesn't matter. It's all in the past and we can just keep moving forward. And despite everything that has gone on, I've had some really great discussions. And again, I don't hate anyone. And I do respect some of the other content creators that, you know, have been mentioned in this Discord, and I respect them, and they have had back and forth with me. And at the end of the day, I can honestly say that we have shaken hands and there's been no ill will. So let's just keep it at that. I get it. You know, there's definitely stuff to get upset about. Let's just keep it positive, everyone. Let's focus on our community. Let's focus on what we're doing. We kind of got our digs in there. I get it. It's funny, whatever, but we don't need to worry about it. I don't care anymore. You know, I've gotten to this point. I'm very happy, you know, doing content for y'all, being a part of this community. So if shots are fired, if things are going on, best to keep the high road and shoot it down and not have it go, you know, get drawn out and, you know, drag things through the mud and have Bush League, you know, comments said, it's fine. I don't care. Let's just keep moving forward. Ultimately, what I care about is you and this community.
Man, you're awesome. I agree.
Thank you, Stu.
I don't know what more to say. That was all. all pretty well said.
Yeah, it's just silly. I mean, it gets to the point where it's not productive. So let's stay productive, because this community, and again, I don't want to, you know, I just love keep pushing this community. It's been fantastic. I mean, it really has been. We've cultivated something great here. The culture is phenomenal, and I don't want to have to derail that in any way. So thank you, everyone. I appreciate it. I appreciate you listening to that kind of diatribe there. But I think it needed to be said, and I have to put my foot forward too. And I have to kind of not get drawn into that as much, because if I'm doing it and other people are doing it, it just keeps perpetuating itself, and we can put a stop to it. So, or, you know, minimize it as much as we can. So let's just keep moving things forward. All right, Stu, where can they find you?
You can find me at a couple of places. I am SSOMERS at S Summers 55. I actually had to go look at that. At S Summers 55 on Twitter. I write for flipsidegaming.com. I write weekly articles on Marvel and Magic. And you can also find me at Grand Prix Indianapolis this weekend.
Awesome. Yeah, you can find me at ChazVMTG on Twitter is the best place to find me, on the Insider Discord as well. I'm always around there. And I do everything over at QS. You can find all my content there. Quiet Speculation on the Insider side, sometimes not on the Insider side. And if you want to hear more of me, I'm also on the MTG Goldfish cast as well.
Are you going to be in Indianapolis?
I am not, unfortunately. Yeah, it's a pretty big hike for me. But yeah, it's just bad timing. But I will try to make it to GPs in the future. See you all and talk to you all. I'd love to do that. Stu, again, thank you very much. Hang around the Discord. We'd love to have you here.
I will. Now that I've added you to my Discord, now that I know how to work my Discord, I'll be around a bit more. So when I'm not working, I'll try to pop in. And if you guys follow me on Twitter and everything, I'm sure I'll be popping off there a little bit. Not too bad. I'll be good. Just all right. Any questions for me, feel free to ask. I'm pretty friendly and easy to talk to.
Yep. All right, everyone. That's going to do it for tonight. This is the QS cast signing out. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Hope you gained something from this cast. And let's take it from here.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.